Chapter 12, Encouragement, Raising Your People Up. Encouragement, it's a noun, the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. Persuasion, to do or continue something. The act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. In creating affinity, the act of encouraging your team members spreads across all three of the definitions above. With encouragement comes a sense of confidence and hope, underwritten by the support offered in your uplifting words. Encouragement helps people persevere, and in the world of business, perseverance in most things is critical. However, encouragement is not praise. Encouragement focuses on improvement and recognition of effort, and can be doled out liberally in pursuit of the specific outcomes sought. Encouragement also helps create alignment and shape behavior in far more substantial and sustainable ways than disciplinary styles could ever hope to achieve. Sadly, positive feedback needs to be delivered far more often, 6-to-1, in order to counterbalance constructive, potentially negative, feedback. This seems wildly disproportionate, but look inside and ask yourself how hard you've taken small criticisms over the years and how flippant you are about acknowledgements you have received. It's human nature. We are evolutionary beings, and survival is often based on not making the same mistake repeatedly, so we tend to take criticism seriously. It's in our DNA. Note, the numbers suggest that you need to give 6 pieces of positive feedback to neutralize 1 piece of negative feedback. Previously, I mentioned the Catch Us Exceeding Your Expectations feedback system we instituted, and I think this tool exemplifies the value of encouragement. When we position our team members for success and actively go out of our way to encourage others to find them doing good work, we are creating positive momentum and affinity within our brand. One of the most fundamentally positive elements of this system, in my opinion, was encouraging team members to recognize and encourage their fellow teammates in their everyday activities. Team members can compliment your work to acknowledge positive efforts on your company's behalf in significant ways. They can help you elevate your team when you're not able to. And encouragement from teammates can be equally or more rewarding than encouragement from you, their leader. Finding and recognizing your team members for their accomplishments is often not a natural disposition for the more competitive among us. If you aspire to be the best, you can be and create a team that has affinity. Then you have a competitive spirit. Equally, you have the capacity to develop the disciplines around success you'll need to succeed. Encouraging your team is one such critical discipline. As a competitor, you also appreciate the benefits of encouragement in a coach's style. That is not to say that there is no place for constructive feedback in an organization that seeks affinity. We just need to ensure that the course corrections do not blur out the positive things that are transpiring as your company pushes towards its goals. If your style is to manage the minute details, then you will likely suffer the fate of clouding the goal from view. When we are being barraged by input, we can easily lose focus on the destination. What I am essentially saying is to balance constructive feedback as much as possible with positive reinforcement and encouragement. And as I pointed out earlier, one does not equal one in the feedback stakes. Yet, you can't stay on course without giving constructive feedback. Team members want performance-oriented leaders who will challenge the status quo, and that demands continual refinement. Refinement demands course corrections. Giving feedback that motivates means you'll have to constantly offset those necessary course corrections with positive reinforcement. This means proactively and consistently looking for ways to recognize and acknowledge your team members any chance you get. And a hard-earned piece of advice, good job won't cut it. A parenting and coaching lesson I learned is that when you are encouraging teens, you need to be specific. They will routinely dismiss that generic bit of praise, that well done or good job. What a teen will likely acknowledge and accept is specifics in reference to their efforts. And you can't fake it. This lesson applies in the workplace equally as much. I've worked for leaders who trot out the generic, attaboy, and after a while, these platitudes become white noise and wallpaper. If you deliver encouragement, it needs to be legitimate and specific. Integrity is one of the foundations of great leadership, and false platitudes ultimately fall on deaf ears, regardless of how deftly they are delivered. So, how do you deliver all these positive pieces of encouragement when you're deluged by emails and all the trappings of leadership that weigh you down on a daily basis? Tom Peters talks about MBWA, Management by Wandering Around, in his book, In Search of Excellence. He presents a great methodology to employ when seeking to catch your team members up to good things. It's also a great way to get up and stretch your legs and see what's really happening beyond the office walls. MBWA refers to a management practice of spontaneous and unstructured visits on team members, departments, and locations. Because these visits are unexpected, the team members who are focused on their tasks and responsibilities will become apparent, especially over time, and the show ponies, these people who will wait till someone's watching to make an effort, will equally become evident. The real magic is in gathering regular and robust data points. Tip: these are examples where your team members least expect to see you, but when they do, and you give them positive recognition they deserve for going above and beyond, it's brilliant. Be aware that random sampling with this can create some distortions that can only be corrected through continued diligence. MBWA is best applied generously. It is also important to make this non-routine activity part of your routine. In other words, you need to get out regularly to visit your team members at various times of the day and possibly night, depending on your line of business. When I managed businesses that operated 7 days a week over extended hours, I found that some of the most magical moments happened outside of my office hours. Being greeted by that bright and cheery early opener at 5:25 a.m. in the morning was a treat. The act of opening the doors of a health club for those early morning exercises was a delight in the right hands, or a disaster in the hands of someone who's not a morning person. Catching that manager on duty jump-starting a customer's car at 10 p.m. at night was a magic moment not to be missed. The appreciation from that poor soul that had left their lights on probably eclipsed all my platitudes, but just getting to witness these acts of genuine kindness reinforced my need to be out and about, catching my team members doing great stuff. When I was managing a company that was shipping tens of thousands of items monthly, my regular visits to the shipping team was likely a welcome respite from the repetitive tasks the team handled. As well, it always offered great insights into the heartbeat of our company. There are so many intangible benefits to be gleaned from these connections with your team. I have come to appreciate MBWA in all of my leadership roles. Side note about exceeding expectations. In any business I've led, we have always asked our team members who opened up in the morning to open 5 minutes earlier than the posted opening time. This is a Disney tradition, and I love it. I especially love it because we have all been on the receiving end of the shop assistant or bank teller waiting for opening time to tick by on the wall clock that was typically slow before strolling to the door to let in their daily dose of frustration. Sadly, I'm not exaggerating here, and most of us have experienced this decided lack of affinity in businesses we have interacted with over time. The act of delighting your customers by opening a few minutes early is a small price to pay for a lot of positive goodwill. Over-delivering obviously needs to be observed with discipline, because for the regulars, they will come to assume you're opening 5 minutes early. If that was not made clear to the new early opener or the sub, you'll get flack even if you open on time. It is also valuable to express encouragement in meetings or communications with your team who reach milestones in your journey toward an end goal. These group touches can be very powerful and put context to team building opportunities. I would encourage you to actively look for opportunities to celebrate achievements and encourage each team member and your team at large. I'm a big fan of huddles and stand-up meetings and use them in a variety of scenarios. Like team meetings, these are great opportunities to recognize team members' efforts on a day-to-day basis. Mindful, intentional communication. A daily stand-up meeting provides valuable insights into other departments, inspiring teamwork and improved communication, which drives empathy and understanding. A great example of the value of a stand-up in the encouragement stakes was when I was managing a large multi-purpose facility in Denver, Colorado. Based in Australia at the time, I was offered a consulting contract managing the Colorado region for a national group and also this specific facility. Unbeknown to me, this facility was affectionately known as Afghanistan. It was somewhat neglected and had a team that was heavily siloed. There were a dozen department heads. I quickly determined that this team was beaten up, so to speak, and interdepartmental communication was inconsistent at best. I determined that the department heads needed a daily stand-up meeting to get everyone talking to each other and in order for me to shed some light on all the potential we had within this team. That stand-up model I use is based on one propounded by Vern Harnish. Each person in the stand-up has 60 seconds to discuss what they did the day before, followed by their plan of action for today, and then any rocks that they have in their shoes. Rocks in your shoes are challenges that are hampering you from getting your job done. They do not include generic things like the weather that might be affecting everyone, but they do include something like the roof leaking into your office onto your computer, for example. There are guidelines for stand-up meetings, and I enforced a few basic perimeters. First rule was to keep it under 60 seconds, because if done right, we should take less than 15 minutes for 13 of us to do our downloads. Another guideline is that the information is for the group. If there's a conversation that needs to be had between two or more parties from the stand-up, they need to have it after the group breaks up. Additionally, we actually did these stand-ups standing up. Go figure. Phones were not allowed, no laptops open on desks. We were facing each other in a circle. There was nowhere to hide and no unwanted distractions. Stand-up meetings guidelines. Stand up. Eliminate distractions. 60 seconds per person. Take conversations that are irrelevant to the group offline. When we started doing these stand-ups, I'm not sure that anyone was happy about it. It was 15 minutes out of people's already chaotic day, and initially the team members had struggled to recount the previous day's events succinctly. Having a plan for today was not the norm for most of the team either. They were simply trying to survive the chaos. The chaos was there mainly because there was a lack of clarity around roles and a definitive lack of communication between departments. Everyone was trying to survive, and to an extent, it was every person for themselves. Soon, however, we started to connect to each other. I regularly pointed out both large and small achievements that each team member had contributed the day before. For example, helping each other achieve a milestone. Affinity began to germinate. I encouraged and acknowledged the behavior that was melding them back into a team, and the walls of the silos slowly crumbled. They started to see each other in a more human and empathetic way and appreciated that they were not in this alone. We each had our rocks or boulders in our shoes, and every one of us had our plans for the day unravel at times. When we didn't know about something that affected us, there was always the counterpoint where we had failed to inform someone else of the things we were up to that had affected them. Communication slowly improved. Working together and encouraging each other became more the norm than the exception. The laughter started to permeate these meetings and camaraderie began to grow. Not amazing today. One of the newest department heads, who was probably the least beaten up of the group when I came on board, was a positive beacon that many followed. Brooke was energetic, vibrant, and positive about everything. One day, we were going around the circle and got to Brooke. She looked a little under the weather, and when I asked her how she was doing, she responded with incredulity. I'm not amazing today. That encapsulated Brooke. She was almost apologetic that she wasn't 110% that day. This was her family now. She hadn't really known things before the stand-ups, and now everyone laughed at the irony when she said this. She continued on with her 60-second download, but these sorts of moments defined the development of the affinity in that team. I know that as much as this made us laugh, many of those department heads went out of their way to help Brooke as she struggled through the day, not feeling 110%. The mutual encouragement and affinity that arose among the team over just 3 months was amazing. They would recognize each other in 60 seconds for the help they've received and the hard work that their teammates were putting in to turn this facility around. We planned full days of cleaning and repair days where we scrubbed, painted, and deep cleaned areas that sorely needed a facelift. We cleaned up junk rooms and cleared the cobwebs off vents and trusses. We revitalized equipment that had been mothballed due to lack of repair. We ignited energy into areas of the club that had languished for years. Rather than being a place where you were sentenced to work, this facility transitioned into a place people wanted to work. Affinity blossomed. And we created this together, encouraging each other all the while, the offers to help, the recognition of each other, the encouragement that grew among this team and their respective teams all flowed freely. In less than 6 months, the club's attrition had reversed and we all began measuring retention growth instead. Sales improved monthly when we compared to year over year, and programs ranging from personal training to spa services grew substantially, driving additional peripheral income the club had been sorely needing. I came to appreciate that team so much. They reinforced something that I felt instinctively, that inherently, people are good and want to do good work. Sometimes we just need to open up a forum to share in and encourage each other in order to raise each other up and be our best. Yes, there will be times when we disappoint each other, but given clarity of purpose, clear expectations, a forum for communication, and the knowledge that you're actively seeking to find the good in people and in what they're doing, your team will rise up. Note, of particular importance in the encouragement stakes is the fact that not all team members want feedback delivered in the same way. Some like open praise in front of others, and some like the private note or thank you offline. Regardless of what form the encouragement takes, the universal rule is that praise raises your team up.